And we pray you would take the message tonight in your word and you would use it to strengthen us that we might live in obedience to you. And living in obedience, bring glory to your name. Amen. All right, we don't want to be hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. As we obey the word, it brings glory to our Lord, and that's what our life is all about. And He has made it fairly simple for us to know how to glorify Him. We just live in obedience to His word, and that brings Him glory as He gives us the grace to do so. All right, we are looking at the Holy Spirit's revelatory role in the New Covenant ministry. We said He is the executor of the New Covenant. That means that it is His responsibility to see to it that the obligations of the New Covenant are met and are kept. He sees to it that God's part is met, and He also sees to it that our part is met. And that's why it's a covenant of grace. He enables us to meet our part, as He works in us both to will and to work for His good pleasure. As we look at His revelatory role, we see that He reveals and gives wisdom and insights to church leaders, as we see over in Acts 15. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials. Now, I thought it would be helpful for us to turn in our Bibles to Acts 15, and I want us to spend some time, in fact, the rest of our time, in this chapter. It is, as I mentioned last week, the biggest controversy, the greatest controversy that we see in the New Testament among the church. It's called the Jerusalem Council, and it came about because Gentiles were getting saved and being added to the church. And the question arose, what is expected of Gentile believers? Are they expected to do the same things as Jewish believers are expected to do? Now remember, the church came out of Judaism. The first Christians were Jews. All the disciples were Jews. Jesus was a Jew. And so, as far as they understood, Pentecost was Jews. They all came to celebrate Pentecost. It was Jews that were there. And so, their understanding was that Christianity or the church was just an extension of Judaism. And therefore, many of the practices of Judaism should be carried over into the Christian life, right? Whether it be dietary laws or observing the Sabbath or some of the many other things, they thought this ought to be carried over. Well, when the Gentiles started getting saved, the question was, well, do they need to do these same things that we have been doing because we've grown up Jewish? And that was the discussion. And let's look at how the church dealt with this area of conflict. Churches are going to have conflict. People. You get two people. Do I need to mention marriage? Two people who committed to love each other till death, who are supposed to love each other more than they love anybody else, they do not go without conflict, right, in their marriage. And anytime two people together, and the church is no differently. And conflict in itself is not a bad thing if it is handled in a healthy manner, if it's handled in the biblical manner. And I think what we see in this passage is that happening. All right, here we begin in verse 1. And some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren. Now, this was in Jerusalem. Unless you're circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. All right? Their idea was, you got to be circumcised to be saved. No circumcision, no salvation. And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, that's the way of saying it was a pretty heated argument. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, and he was not about to force the Gentiles to be circumcised to be saved. He knew that that would have been a works salvation, right? Had a great dissension and debate with them. And the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. Big debate. Who's right, Paul or these others? They said, y'all need to go up and let the church in Jerusalem, the mother church, hear this issue. Therefore, being sent on the way by the church, they were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and were bringing great joy to all the brethren. And when they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. So here, Paul and Barnabas are coming to the church at Jerusalem, and they are saying, let us share with you how God is saving the Gentiles. And they were sharing with them some of their various experiences on their missionary journey and how God had been saving the Gentiles. But certain ones of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed, so they were Christians now, stood up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses. That's the group. They've got to obey the law of Moses. They've got to be circumcised. And the apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. All right, so that's one thing healthy. They were saying, okay, let's look into it. Let's find out more about what's going on here and see the issue that we're really dealing with. Too many times people get in arguments and they really don't understand what the real issue is. One person thinks it's one thing, another person thinks it's another, and they're arguing, but they aren't even arguing about the same thing. And after there had been much debate, okay, so there was a freedom of ideas to be expressed. There was not squelching, saying, no, you be quiet, you can't speak, what you don't agree with me, you can't speak. Everybody was allowed to speak. There was debate. Everybody was expressing what they thought, and they were debating back and forth, and it was not in a spirit of animosity, though, but I believe in a spirit of open discussion. All right? And it was much debate. And after that, Peter stood up and said to them, brethren, now you remember Peter was the one that God gave the vision about the unclean things to eat and sent him to Cornelius. So he was the first of the apostles to realize that God was saving the Gentiles. And he was one of the leaders of the early church. Peter stood up and said to them, brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth, he's speaking of that Cornelius incident, the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So he's saying, you know, I've kind of got a little inside track on this because I was the one that God chose to be the first one to give the message to the Gentiles and they would be saved. So he's basically saying, I've got a little more experience on this than most of you. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. You remember that part of the story, how they began to speak in tongues. He made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Were these Gentiles circumcised when this happened? No. And I think Peter's referring to that. that God saved them before they had done anything in obedience to the law of Moses. And he cleansed their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? He's talking about the Mosaic Law and obeying the Mosaic Law. He said, why are we going to put that burden on them? We hadn't been able to obey it. I mean, we've fallen short of it. And the Mosaic Law was never meant as a way of earning salvation. And he said, we didn't do it. Verse 11. But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, and in the same way as they also are. So he is saying, not works, but grace. Not because of any obedience to the law or circumcision on the basis of our salvation, but purely by grace through faith. Verse 12. And all the multitude kept silent, and they were listening to Paul and Barnabas as they were relating what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. And after they had stopped speaking, James answered, saying, brethren, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first, now that's Peter, how God first concerned himself about taking from among the Gentiles or people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophet agree, such as it is written. So James is quoting the scripture as a foundation for what Peter has done. After these things, I will return and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it, in order that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Rest of mankind being Gentiles. And all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old. Therefore it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles, but that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols, and from fornication, and from what is strangled, and from blood. For Moses from ancient generations has in every city those who preach him, since he is read in the synagogues every Sabbath. So James's recommendation was only a few things that we require of them. And that's because Moses is still taught. There are those who understand the ways of Moses. And they should just abstain from things contaminated by idols, from fornication, from what is strangled, and from blood. And that part goes back to the Noahic covenant, when Noah told them not to drink the blood. And I think that carries forth. That covenant is still in effect, because we still have a rainbow, don't we? Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders and to the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, Judas called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. And they sent this letter by them. The apostles and the brethren who are elders to the brethren in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, who are from the Gentiles, greetings. Since we have heard that some of our number to whom we gave no instruction have disturbed you with their words, unsettling your souls. That is, those who said they had to be circumcised. It seemed good to us, having become of one mind, so they came to a consensus on this, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will also report the same things by the word of mouth. They didn't just send Paul and Barnabas because they were the ones, some of the principals in the argument, right? So people might say, well, you're just saying this because that's what you believe. So they sent a couple other guys, Silas and Judas, that they could be witnesses to what the council had decided. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Now, it doesn't tell us how the Holy Spirit gave them this consensus or this sense that what they were doing was right. But if I had to venture a guess, I would say when James quoted from the Old Testament scriptures that the Holy Spirit used His word to confirm in their hearts that this indeed was the path that they should follow, that they should not require the Gentiles to follow the old covenant and circumcision. But it doesn't tell us exactly how the Holy Spirit gave them that sense. But they recognized that it was from the Holy Spirit. For they said it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials, that you abstain from things sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. If you keep yourself free from such things, you will do well. Farewell. So when they were sent away, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, also being prophets themselves, one of my favorite verses, encouraged and strengthened the brethren with a, what does that say, short message? Does it say short message? Many words. Lengthy message is what my translation says. All right. Okay, so here you see the Holy Spirit at work in the church dealing with conflict, but dealing with it in a constructive way, a way that benefited the entire church. All right, Paul, if you would come and lead us in our prayer time.